Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك
لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك
لبيك اللهم لبيك
لبيك
لا شريك لك لبيك
لبيك
والنعمة.
Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Respected listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Alhamdulillah, the date today is the 24th of Shawwal, 1446. Let's welcome Mulana Salman Yunus. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Mulana, hope you're well this morning.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. How's everything else, Mulana?
Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. I was just speaking to our Mufti Hassan Ali Suleiman. He came, he's a revert, and he went from America. He moved to Pakistan to study and everything. And then he said he's going to carry on staying there. So he asked, how's the weather in South Africa and everything? I believe it's cooler. So I said, gee, it is cooler, but the temperature of the bodies are heated up because of all the fitna that is unleashed upon our seniors, our elders. I mean, I just received a message now from someone addressing some student addressing Mufti Ibrahim Saleji, Mulana Abdul Hamid Sahib, Mufti Hashim Bouda Sahib, and saying that he's traveled so many places, and due to his profession, he's been fortunate. And upon his arrival back to South Africa, he said that this is a toxic environment, and many graduates from the three Darul Ulooms, both locally and abroad. So this means that means Dadi Muddin, Darul Ulum, Azadville, Darul Ulum, Tadia, all these three Darul Ulums. And he says here that the students have become disillusioned with the state of our country's religious climate. And South Africa was once looked up to globally for its Islamic scholarship and leadership. And he says, it is with a heavy heart and utmost humility that I appeal to you, our respected elders, to consider my message with an open heart. And here he says that I recently came across a short clip in which the esteemed Mufti Sahib and other respected ulama expressed concerns regarding Sheikh Umar Suleiman, and particularly matters related to the LGBTQ issues. So in short, just the response to this, he said he spent time in United States and all of this year, and he found them to be sincere in their commitment to deen and very extremely exemplary in their character. And he mentions many other personal experiences. So in short, Mulana, you can just assist with this, inshallah, because it is a direct attack on our Darul Ulooms. And I feel that we have to address these issues. I mean, they are so vocal about these things. Firstly, the person says he's traveled. Traveling doesn't, if you say open your mind, doesn't mean you must lose your brains then. You must still stick on the Sharia. And if you say that South Africa was once looked up upon, so who has changed? Who has changed? Has Mulana Abdul Hamid Sahib changed? Has Mufti Ibrahim Saleji changed? Has Mufti Hashim Bouda changed on the standards, the quality that has been left by our particular seniors who have come to this country? We speak of the likes of Hazrat Mulana Sheikh al-Hadith Mulana Zakaria Rahmatullah Ali, his Khalifa Mufti Mahmud Hassan Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali. If you look at all these pious individuals, and then the legacy Mulana Masila Rahmatullah Ali, they've come, they've left this legacy here for us. And they are striving to hold on to that legacy. Those who have changed are those who are now bringing about these changes. And that is why we've been looked down upon. So who's causing this here? And Mulana, probably you've heard the example given by our seniors as well, Mulana Dawood Sidat, where he gives, I'll shorten the whole thing, where he says Mufti Ibrahim Saleji also has given this example. We have a shop, and myself, yourself, Mulana, we are in partnership. And we say, you know what, no cigarettes in the store, no dacha in the store. And after some time, Allah forbid, I say, you know what, that, you know what, maybe we have to change our stance on this. So many people are vaping, so many people are smoking weed. Why don't we bring these things in? So now, who has changed? You said, I said, we're going to stick onto this pathway of our parents, our legacy that they've left behind, and the shop is coming to our inheritance now. So how do we go about? Who's changing? Am I changing, or you changing, or who's moving away? So this is exactly what is happening. And those who are changing, they are causing the disunity. We have to be, they are causing this toxic environment. They are bringing in scholars who don't even, can't even stick to fitrah. Fitrah is to grow, to lengthen the beard, which was the sunnah of the Anbiya alayhi salam. So when you can't have this, Shaykh al-Hadith, Mulana Zakaria, rahmatullah alayhi, Abiti, which is, it's not Abiti, it's Abiti for the listeners. That means the biography. It's just amazing how Shaykh al-Hadith would find time to write about all these things. And he said that he wouldn't allow a student in his class if he didn't have a sunnah beard. Even if he had permission from the principal, he wasn't allowed. This was the conditions and the rules, regulations that they, the legacy that they've left behind, which our very madaris are named after. So then how does this person come in and has the audacity to address our seniors in this particular manner? This is, we condemn it with the utmost contempt that it deserves. Mulana, you can just add to this, inshallah, and we can then focus on Mulana's topic.
You know, this whole week past, if you're looking and following what you say, the WhatsApp groups and social media, I guess the whole talk has been about this. And I say, Alhamdulillah, Marcus Sahaba also has been addressing this nonstop every day. So I didn't know whether to speak about it or not, but since Mulana brought it up, and I think it's important at this time, especially for us in the Durban area, because I believe that tonight is one of his programs, Umar's programs. So we speak on this, inshallah, for the duration of the time. Whatever Allah Ta'ala puts in the mind to say, Allah Ta'ala accept it. But the topic what we have chosen for today, you can speak at some other time, but I think it's very important. Ma has pointed out very various aspects here. And maybe after this discussion, inshallah, it'll be clearer for the listeners in understanding why our ulama is so staunch on these aspects, and that brother's letter, what he has written to our seniors, we'll address it now also at the same time. I was unaware of it completely until now Moran has mentioned it. But just 2 points before we go into the understanding. If people might be thinking why Moran is mentioning about the fitrah, the fitrah of man. And in one of the talks of Umar Suleiman, he mentioned about fitrah, about the fear. And if they don't understand the basics of fitrah and basically apply it when they choose to apply it, then that is not deen. Deen is across the board. In every aspect of our life, we have to, the natural disposition of mankind has to be upheld at all times. And this aspect, example of the sunnah beard that was given, I remember reading recently also, I'm not sure which alim, it was the same alim, that didn't want to accept or didn't teach any student that didn't have a full sunnah shari beard. And one of the Darul Ulooms, they said, no, just teach him. And he says, no, he will never enter my class. And this harshness for upholding deen, what happened later on? The same very student, normally we'll say a teacher who is hard on the student loses the student, and the student won't take benefit from that. But when you're doing it for the sake of deen, for the upliftment of deen, upholding the sharia, Allah Ta'ala makes the miracles occur. Allah Ta'ala makes the goodness come about. And in our minds, we'll say from a logical perspective, no, this teacher is losing the student. Why don't you accept the student? He can learn so much from you. Only one aspect you're looking at, there's so much good within him. And this is a common argument that we see in today's time. But this student, later on, from all the other asatis that it taught him, he went to this very ustad. And he, even though he was not allowed, until his beard was grown out full, and then he attended. That same ustad thereafter, he went and said, I want to take bayat at your hands, because you showed me what is deen. You were so strong with deen, I can trust you to show me the rest of deen. So that was just 2 points that I'll bring to the attention now.
Gee, and but this, Mark, to interrupt, the Mulana that was, who put this condition, it was none other than Sheikhul Hadith Mulana Zakaria Rahmatullah Alayh, and he's mentioned this whole incident which Mulana has shared with us. If the listeners can access the Abbiti, it's been translated in English. If you see volume 6, page 35, exactly how Mulana has said it. So this is here, it's translated, the Darun Nashr has translated it into English for the listeners, English people, so you can get it there. Volume 6, Abbiti, page 35, Jimulana Ma for interrupting.
Alhamdulillah, that's one other point we see, that our deen, everything can be referenced, everything can be found, and whatever we're doing, that there's no need to try to put our brains, why we're doing that, why we're doing this, or why we shouldn't be doing this. Everything got a reference from Quran, from Sunnah, from our Kabir, where we can find this here. It's not something that just thought of all of a sudden. When it comes to the protection of Islam, we see Allah Ta'ala has taken it upon himself in the Quran. وَإِنَّ لَوْ لَحَافِظُونَ that we will protect thee. And that is why the constant dua we all have to make is, oh Allah, utilize us. Oh Allah, accept us for the khidmat of deen, for the preservation of deen. Because whether with us, without us, the deen of Allah will be protected. It will stay as it always was. But the question is whether we will be part of that pure deen, whether we will be used by Allah Ta'ala, accepted by Allah Ta'ala to protect this deen. And in South Africa, we should realize this great favor of Islam that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with. Regardless of whatever else is happening in the country, the corruption, the turmoil, the whatever else we want to say is going wrong, but this deen that Allah has favored us, and this is the greatest favor Allah has blessed us in South Africa with, is that the freedom of deen in its pure form. We see many parts in the world. There's no other country like South Africa at the moment where we are able to practice deen freely in its original form without having to be shying away for what we have to say, what we need to say that is in conformity with deen. We find many other countries in the world. What happens? If they speak out on certain aspects, then they are arrested or they are watched upon. But in South Africa, alhamdulillah, this is a favor of deen. And if we study the lives of other countries, the history of other countries, they also had this here once upon a time, where they had this freedom of religion. Allah Ta'ala blessed them with it. But then what started happening? They started negating it. They started slowly compromising it. And Allah Ta'ala looks at what we do. If we are going to compromise deen and show Allah Ta'ala, you know what, we want to live like how the others are living, then Allah will snatch away that favor. Allah will take it away. And that is why whilst we have this year, we have to uphold it. We have to keep it firm within us. And our Darul Uloom are doing this tremendous job of keeping this pure deen taught to us. They are not, you know how many times we hear from the Akabirin that people approach them, why don't you introduce some secular education in the Darul Uloom? And same time they shut it down. They said, we will not get this purity of deen ever mixed up with anything of this world. This is the place where your heart is open to deen and only deen, where only that must get filled in the lives of a person. That's what you've come here for. You're not come here for the luxuries of the world. You're not come here for the perks of the world. But you came here for your dunya and your akhirah of deen, to learn how to live in this world as a Muslim, to pass it on to others, give them that same message so that they can be successful in the akhirah. So as we have our Darul Uloom, and we should make so much shukr that we have in our Darul Uloom such principles, such muhtamins that are upholding it. They don't shake. They don't just give in to anything or feel scared. Because why? They are full taqwa within them. Full concentration, focus on Allah Ta'ala. That Allah does. Allah is the only one. Why should we fear man? Why should we fear the governments of the world? Why do we need to carry favor with them? But everything is in the control of Allah. And that is where everything starts, our mindset, that we have forgotten that Allah is in full control. We have forgotten that Allah Ta'ala's deen, Allah will take care of it. And whoever helps the deen of Allah, Allah helps that person. So the moment we forget this here, that is when we think now we have to do like how the modern world is doing. We have to do like how so-and-so is doing to live up to the times, to keep up to the times. So look at it. How many of us that are living life in total obedience to the Sharia, in total obedience to deen, there is nothing short in our lives. There is nothing where we say, hey, I wish I could be doing this, I wish I could be doing that. Rather, the opposite we find, that those that are living their lives according to Sharia, according to the pure deen, then they have sukoon, peace, itminan in their life. no stress of worrying what fashion to do or what makeup to put on the face or how should I trim my beard or what I need to worry about saying. Will I lose people following me? Because everything is done for Allah Ta'ala. Everything done is for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Recently, yesterday, it was, I just read one message of Ma Yunus Patel, rahmatullah alayhi. And Ma Yunus Patel wrote over there, or he said it, and then someone transcribed it, and he said that deen is not dependent on numbers. Deen is not dependent on numbers. Deen is dependent on doing the amal, depending on your sincerity, and Allah Ta'ala does the rest. If it was dependent on numbers, then the music concerts, the cinemas, all of that got big numbers. That would have been successful. Mm. But that is not the case. Allah Ta'ala looks at your intention. Allah looks at your sincerity behind it. So if we look at South Africa as a whole, Allah has blessed us with this deen of Islam. And Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with such ulama who are upholding it. And this has always been the case. And their values haven't changed. We will never see or we'll never find from what the ulama have been mentioned, our Qabil Abdul Hamid, Mufti Saadaji, Wa Shabir, Mufti Bawda Saab, all of them, the views they always held is the same views that have been held. Nothing has changed. What has changed is the people wanting deen to change.
Mm.
Why? Because they want to suit themselves. They want to suit their whims and their desires, but the only thing they want it to be sanctioned by deen. They want it to be sanctioned that this is part of Islam. See, I'm doing this here, but it's part of Islam. They want that there. So there's a big push that they are trying to say to persuade our kabir, our seniors, the ulama, to give sanction, give jawab, give permissibility for this. Say this is fine, this is no problem. Why? Because they have an excuse. I'm doing this, and this is part of deen. But until that is never done, they'll always have this feeling in their heart that, you know what, this is not right. And that is the blessing of our Kabirin, that knowing that a person is doing something wrong, but still behind their mind, they know, I know this is not part of deen. The moment you're going to say it is part of deen, then we are losing one part of deen, and we are watering down the deen of Allah Ta'ala. Now, if you look in recent past, in the years that have passed, and more so the recent years, there have been a very huge influx of deviance coming into South Africa, of Ba'athiyya scholars, of modern-day scholars, coming into Africa. And just to name a few, Al-Asi was one, then we see Tariq Ramadan, I think was the other one, then now is Umar Suleiman, then we had even Imran Hussein. If you look at it, why the sudden influx of deviant scholars when within South Africa we have such scholars, such ulama, who have such high ranks amongst the whole Muslim population of the world? That we see our ulama, when they go to Palestine even, they are given the salah to be performed. When they go to Makkah, Mukarramah, Madinah, Munawwara, they are honored with the ulama over there. They have this high-ranking position. But yet we want to bring people from other parts of the world and bring them to our country where we know for a fact the deviant ways, the misled ways. We are bringing poison into our country. And there is a big agenda behind this here. There is a big reasoning behind this here. Those that are bringing them know exactly what they want to do. They are trying to say and wring the masses out by popular figures, by people who are being watched on YouTube, followed on social media. And I will say we'll bring them into the country in the hope and the event of trying to subdue our senior ulama of the country by trying to pull out the numbers. But what they fail to realize is that our ulama are not worried about the numbers. Their only concern is upholding the deen of Allah Ta'ala. And by bringing more of these deviant scholars, you are only making our ulama's taqwa, our ulama's piety shine even more. You are bringing more people closer to them actually, because people are realizing that this is the correct deen. Why are so many of the Darul Uloom being spoken, speaking out about it, our seniors, and all the ulama are being produced by them? You are actually making people think more and more that these are the people who are actually supposed to be following. And we see, example, the stories of the Shias. If you go, it's a long story, we're not going to go into it, but Abdullah bin Salam, how from within deen, he saw he couldn't corrupt deen from outside, he couldn't defeat it. So he tried from within it, under the banner of Islam, to come and try and corrupt it, and that's how Shiaism was born. This is exactly what is trying to be done today, under the banner of Islam. And one very important thing to note is that these people that are coming, what is their background? What is their history? And where did they shoot out from? All of a sudden they became famous, they hit fame. Were they not planted by some organization? Are they not, what we say, agents of these people to come? and try to destroy Deen Samuddin. It is a very scary thought, but it's a thought that it's worth pondering upon. But why did they just, from nowhere, you'll see within a few years, these people just shine. Where they were a nobody, they become a somebody all of a sudden. And the world just takes it and they are put on all the platforms, all the media, all the social platforms. They are just inundated upon it. You'll see your feeds, you'll see your channels only got their name, their videos, whatever is being shown. And this is a way of what you'll say, manipulating the masses, manipulating the minds. And the person thinks, you know what, I am still a Muslim. But this person is also a Muslim, and see how influential he is, see how he talks, see how he looks, what a good following he has. And this has been the big doctor, the big deception of our times, looking at a person's following and think he's credible, think that he is a credible person, whereas that doesn't hold any weight in Islam whatsoever. When it comes to our normal lives, we'll say that defending criminals, example, defending a criminal, say you're mad to defend a criminal. Like at the moment, we know the gun laws that are being passed in South Africa, and there's a big uproar about it, that there's one law that is saying now to apply for a gun for the reason of self-defense, they are challenging it. They say it's not a valid reason. Mm-hmm. And now this from the gun community and all the others, they are taking it to town. They say the criminals are still going to be armed. They're still going to have it. How are we going to protect ourselves? The criminals are just getting more laws to protect them. And when it comes to the deviants, a very similar example we can see, that more and more people are defending them. More and more people want to come and say there's nothing wrong at all. But when a person wants to say, we are protecting Islam, we want to protect Islam from them, then you see all sorts of excuses come out. And remember, it's not about now. It's about the generational effect that it will have. That our children growing up, they are seeing what they are seeing. These people are coming. My father, my mother, all excited about these people coming. And they are taking us to go and view them. They are taking us to watch them. Thereafter, what's going to happen to that child? Where is he going to take his deen from? The question is, why we as parents, why don't we take our children to these ulama who have their majalises every week? No need to pay. No need for fancy concerts. No need for seeing, putting the makeup on their face before they come onto stage. No need for seeing that, you know what, my garb is prim and proper. Nothing of that sort. And that is the vast difference if you look at it. When any scholar comes, any person that comes, remember, our ulama always taught us, judge them by Sharia. Judge them by the Sharia. How much are they upholding the Sharia? And then you'll know their piety. Then you'll know whether they are worthy of being followed. You see now when these people come, they don't ever have programs in the masjid.
Mm.
Whereas they have in halls, they have at someone's house, someone's guest house, or at some other place, not in the masjid. Mm. And then it's closed access. You have to have special, what you say, connections in order to get in. And if it's in a hall, then exorbitant fees are being paid. For what? For deen. You are charging, if you come in for the betterment of deen, then your duty is, let me just give them the deen. And you see our akabir, when they come from the Indo-Pak area, from whichever countries they are coming, there's no such thing as exorbitant fees. They just say, this masjid is holding the program. No such thing as sold out, that we can't get access to them. The masjids are packed to capacity, the parking lot, everything. And Allah Ta'ala makes it such that everyone puts, look at the ijtima coming up now, inshallah. They say no such thing as now you have to pay to come into the ijtima. This is tents put up, simple tents. Put up, why? You're coming for deen. You're not coming to get distracted. You're not coming for entertainment. You're not coming to be wowed. You are coming to learn deen. There's no price. Everything is free. There's simplicity. There's nothing else. Of what we say now, we're going to put up a fancy game room at the ijtima, or we're going to put up a nice lounge at the ijtima. Nothing, everything is simple. On that same environment that everyone else is, that person is also at. And you look at the Sharia that is being followed compared to everything else. When these people are attending these halls, these concerts they are going for, how much intermingling? There's no barriers. I believe now there are no barriers whatsoever between these other programs that was held between men and females. And imagine as a husband, as a father, you are taking your wife, you are taking your daughter to go and look at this Na-Mahram man. Where is your izzat? Where is your, I forgot the Arabic word now, but where is your ghayra? Where is your ghayra that I don't mind, you come and look at these men on stage. Equally as it is forbidden for us males to look at women, the next verse of the Quran Surah Nur says, for women not to look at men also. Have we forgotten about that there? Have we forgotten about this, that we see many scholars, they say, no, we are TV, we're on YouTube, and the woman watching this here. One is the television itself being haram. What is now you're looking at that now, mahram, that one person, that one wife wrote to her account and he says, you know what, I didn't want to go for that cricket match. And my husband forced me to go for it. And then I went for it, my eyes fell on that one cricketer. And up till the day, I'm still infatuated with that cricketer. I don't have no love for my husband whatsoever. We put them in the scenario. We put them in that day. And everything has become like what we say, Hollywood style. Everything is Hollywood style. That we have a big concert, they walk in, everyone claps in for them. And then we see the big fitna of the Nasheed artist now, this is Mahir Zayn, and this, I forgot this other person's name, Harris. Like a proper music video is made in Medina Munawwara, and people are celebrating. They are so happy, they're saying, this everything is entertainment nowadays. Everything is entertainment. So who is going to speak out to show them masses, you are all gone, going off track. You are all being led off track. Come back to the original way. Come back to the original way of Islam. Who is going to do it besides the pure ulama? Besides the ulama who are holding firm. And in South Africa at the moment, we got those groups who we know who are trying to make deen entertainment, whether it's deen pro or the deen team. And they're trying to make deen entertainment. When you're doing that, the maqsad of deen is totally lost. Yes, utilizing it as a sanction. It is utilizing it as a sanction to say, no, we're doing some deeny thing. Like how you'll say a person is having a big party, but before the day, we'll read a kirat. That doesn't sanction anything whatsoever. So we have to come back to pure deen. We have to realize. And one big trick that is used on the masses, before anything, pay attention to it, and you'll realize this. Whenever these speakers come, they use a person's emotions first. They always bring up, in recent times, they bring up the story of Gaza. They bring Gaza and say, why are we fighting amongst ourselves, people in Gaza, what they don't have, what they do. They use the whole emotions, they settle your emotions down, and after that, whatever they want to say, they get across. Because now they feel we have got the emotions one side, now people are listening. And people only worry about that, they know, but what's happening in Gaza, why are we fighting amongst ourselves? We forget the help of Gaza will only come when we stick to pure deen. When we in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala, when we are obeying Allah as He ought to be obeyed, according to the pure Sharia, then we will see the people of Gaza free. Then we will see the aid of Allah Ta'ala coming. But when we are assisting in all these haram, all these avenues that are actually destroying deen more and more, how can we ever, and these same scholars have the audacity to say and mention Gaza, whereas the same money, why, imagine how much of millions are going on. I think it was minimum 250 rand a ticket just to go for this thing. How much money is being squandered? Or that same money, if you tell a person, you know what, why don't you give it for Gaza? They say, no, you know what, I'd rather go for this year. Why? Because they're getting something in return. They're getting some entertainment, some enjoyment in return. We have to be very, very careful when it's coming to these aspects of deviant scholars coming to our shores. And a very common slogan that was chanted in recent times, I know my time is up, but just a few more minutes, inshallah, review. A very common slogan was, just take the good from the person. So much good work he's doing, why are you focusing on the bad? You tell him, when a boy comes to see your daughter, and you know he's got so much good habits in him, but he also is on drugs, he's also a womanizer, he's also doing this. Will you say, never mind, just take the good from him and leave the bad? Or you'll say, no. These bad things, I'm afraid it will get worse. I'm afraid it will get worse. That's what any logical father will do. That's what any logical person will do. In the same manner, we can't say just take the good. Where is the general public able to deduce what is correct the person is saying and what is not correct? And that's how majority of these deviant scholars work. Out of 10 of their lectures, 9 of them will be 100% correct. And the one they'll use as a poison. And now once they build your trust after so many lectures, you don't even pay attention to question what they're saying after that. But when that poison is put in, you don't even realize you swallowed and you have accepted that poison. You have done it to yourself. And that is why the ulama, they pay so careful attention. They're not doing it for themselves or wanting to pick on this person. They're doing it for your betterment, for your deen, the deen in my country, for the Muslims here. We have to protect the iman. We have the responsibility as ulama to protect the iman. And you'll see it's only, they'll say, but only the Darul Ulum ulama are speaking. Only the Akabirin must speak out. And that is the logical answer, yes. Because the others are only doing wrong. So who else is going to speak out? You'll never ever hear them speaking against our Kabirin because they want them to speak out against. That in itself should show you where the wrong starts and how they even invited this person to address the ulama, to be part of the ulama program. That I still can't understand. I can't fathom. But that says volumes of the organization that has hosted him. So this is just some of the thoughts that I had in my mind. May Allah Ta'ala accept it. And may Allah Ta'ala grant us the understanding of pure deen. We don't have to water it down. We don't need these scholars coming to us. We got giants amongst us. Every country, every province got giant ulama amongst us. Just let us go towards them and get our deen. But the problem is we have to be ready to accept it and not want it part and parcel with the world of all our fancies and our wounds of our desires. May Allah Ta'ala accept it. And we'll see one common statement often when people finish off with these deviant scholars. They say, you know what, I enjoyed the program. I enjoyed it. It was a very enjoyable program. Compared to when people leave our ulama haq, they'll say, I can feel the difference in me. They say, I can feel the connection with Allah now. I can feel that encouragement towards goodness. And that is a major difference, the effect of listening to someone who is pious, upholding Sharia. You are inclined towards Sharia also, compared to listening to someone who is there to entertain your wounds and your desires and speak what is flowery. You're just going to enjoy it and it'll be forgotten the next morning. Jazakallah so much, Mark, for taking up that few more minutes. But inshallah, we can always continue, inshallah.
Inshallah. Jazakallah khairan, Mulana, for these words. And alhamdulillah, we need this year. We need to claim back what has been this legacy. And of course, our seniors, what they've done for us, personal experiences as well. We get so intoxicated in this, what we feel is Islam. But then when you come and you sit in the company of our pious seniors, then they teach you that this year, what you've learned, what you've seen, and that all. I mean, just a simple example I will give personally. So when we started the Alim course, that we asked some people, must we go for this particular gathering? So they said, yeah, you must go because of family ties and uphold it and everything. So you go, and when you go, what happens to you? You have this inferiority complex because everyone is dressed modern, this, that, the other, and you're trying now with your what they call orthodox ways to come in, fit in, blend in, and your children also trying. So what happens then? It gives this feeling in the heart that, hey, how am I going to manage all of this? Slowly, slowly, then you also give up those practices and what you've learned in hadith and all of this here. Then when you come and you see the true scholars and you ask them, what must we do? Say you refrain. And when you refrain, what happens? You get this confidence of the Sharia and all of this. And once you get that confidence, now you are not bootlicking, going with this, you know, apologetic approach. Someone invites you. You say, I can't come because, like how you said, Ramaphosa said during the time of COVID that no family gatherings, you respected, you made him your Lord at that time. I worship Allah. Allah says that this year in the Quran Sharif, you can't be just intermingling like that. Mulana has also mentioned the verses of Surah An-Nur, verses 30-31. And other verses speak about barriers being between the males and the females. And that was for the wives, the mothers of this ummah. For strange women walking around shamelessly dressed. And we say, no, it's perfectly fine. What deen could this be then? That is why we end off with the statement of Ibn Sirin, rahimullah. And he said, he was the student, the grand student of Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. He was a tabi'i. And he said that you must beware where you take your deen from. So when we're taking our deen from people who don't even have that confidence to grow a beard, that alone tells us so much. Forget all the other issues. This is the message that Mulana has shared with us as well. And we make dua, Allah accepts it. Jazakumullah khairan, Mulana. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa
barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.